Well, apparently it's bending birches all the time this morning here on 103.3 KUMD. Tom Casper, our guest for Tips for Hardy Gardeners. So, howdy there, sunshine.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Did you learn about all the cool stuff that you have for sale at your own greenhouse? Those little cantaloupes, little tiny cantaloupes that are like a two-serving cantaloupe. For people that live alone, and they say that more and more people are single, it's sometimes really a struggle to find good things to eat that you can buy in quantities that make sense. Because unless you're one of those people that is just scrupulous about polishing off leftovers, you buy stuff or you grow enough, you know, for a family or a whole bunch of people, and then you find that you're wasting food, and that's as bad or worse.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, and very good point. And the interesting thing is not only are some of those foods that you can grow yourself for in our region right-sized for folks that might only have one or two people in the house or smaller setting in the house, they are absolutely delicious. You know, there's nothing, and I think Jan had referred to it too, but there's nothing that compares to that freshly harvested from the garden, whether it's carrots, and teaching our children the goodness of vegetables through something as wonderful as pulling the food out of the ground and tasting it.
A carrot until you've washed it in the garden hose and it still has a tiny bit of dirt on it just doesn't really taste. Nothing else will really compare to that.
That's right. That's right, and that really goes for a lot of those kinds of foods that we can grow ourselves and be very successful doing, and at whatever scale or size we want to. The taste just does not compare, and certainly does if you're going to a farmer's market or somewhere like that, that you do get some similarities because those folks are growing it here or right around here, too, but certainly growing it in our backyards or in our on our deck and containers or wherever we happen to grow it certainly enhances the flavor and it enhances the enjoyment of it because it's something we've accomplished ourselves. It's something that we've maybe closed that a little bit, the food security that we all are having maybe a little bit of fear over, and the knowledge that it's something that we can do ourselves to help with that and to have our own little impact on.
Well, and I liked the way that you and some other gardeners that I know were also donating excess to the food shelves. It's a way that you can also contribute to feeding other people in your community in addition to yourself. If you end up with a little bit of extra, you know, you can share it with friends and family, or you can, you know, offer some fresh produce to the food shelves. And boy, has that got to taste fantastic, you know, for a meal for somebody to, you know, be like out of a movie, you know, because people in the movies, when they go shopping, they come home and they have a paper bag and there's a loaf of French bread and then all these fresh vegetables poking out the top always.
Yeah.
That's the way, and if they do it in the movies, it's got to be the way it's done in real life, right?
That's it, exactly. Well, and as you know, I haven't been now for a little while because they've had to change some practices here with what's going on, but I volunteered for the last year or so every Friday evening at the Damiano Center, helping prepare and then serve food to visitors. And it was pretty much a daily occurrence for me being there on Fridays when folks were dropping something off that they would like to donate. And Flo, who is the kitchen manager, who's an amazing cook, and you know, people show up with apples and boom, she's making applesauce, or tomatoes and she's making spaghetti, or whatever it happens to be. So there is that place that folks that have grown things that maybe are excess to them, but they still want to see it go to good. There are places like that, like the Damiano Center, that will take that food and turn it into something or help it become something that has a greater power than it would sitting in your kitchen or something along that line. So for folks that are thinking, maybe I should grow a little bit extra food this year and do something with it that helps there is that opportunity. And again, they once things get changed here, you know, at whatever point that happens, and they can start taking food donations again, there certainly is a place that appreciates them and uses them to for the betterment of our community. So.
Well, you call a friend and you say, hey, I'm coming over with some stuff. So put a paper bag or a plastic bag or a whatever on the back porch or a box, and I will put the produce in it. And then you can take your own box back inside your house and you can scrub everything up. And there you go. I mean, what a lovely gift for a friend. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, it's a Twinkie bush would still be a nicer gift. So I got to ask you. So I bought, well, the other thing that I really liked was Jan's suggestion about putting things on the grill. I bought watermelon radish seeds from you because
yes.
I just want to grow them and look at them. I think they're going to just be cool looking. And I can share them with squirrels and deer if they're interested because I'm a giver that way. But I loved her suggestion about trying some vegetables that you're unfamiliar with or maybe you're not 100% sold on the grill.
Yes.
Because doesn't the grill make everything better?
It sure does. And that's a great suggestion for folks that maybe aren't sure how to enjoy zucchini, like you mentioned earlier. What good is a zucchini? But for folks that aren't sure how to enjoy a vegetable or ways they might like it, slice it thinly and put it on the grill and put some grill marks on it and season it with a little salt and pepper or their other favorite seasonings, and they're going to be blown away at how good it tastes just by putting it on the grill. And again, they're not only growing it, they're cooking it in ways that they like, so it continues to enhance their appreciation of gardening.
It's a rabbit hole. You know, you try a little something. You know, you put in a wildflower garden. Your friends actually put in a wildflower garden, and you watch the wildflower garden. And the next thing you know, you're talking about vegetables, and you think, well, I could try one of those, and then you try to, you know, you eat something you've made and you're like, wow, it really does make a difference to eat something that I actually grew myself. And then, you know, you try it on the grill and then you look something else up and it's a rabbit hole. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we just need to accelerate that rabbit hole.
Well, it seems like a lot of people are really interested in this idea of adding a little bit of food security into the whole thing. As I mentioned, we'll be talking this morning on Neighbors with Jason Amundson, and we'll be talking about chickens. We're going to talk turkey about chickens and having your backyard chickens. My thought is, if you can't have a rooster, what's the point? I mean, just because when I was a little girl going to visit my grandpa on the farm, my grandma and grandpa on the farm, the rooster would crow, and then, you know, I'd get up early with Grandpa and we'd go out and feed the steers. And I just have happy memories of roosters.
Yeah.
And I get up early anyway, so it wouldn't bother me. I mean, the rest of my neighborhood, but
you'd have to keep the chicken inside.
In the house.
In the house.
Yes. I could have a really nice big, Laura, I bet Laura Erickson's would know just the right size crate for a rooster who could stay inside
your house rooster
during the day. Exactly.
Yeah.
So let me ask you one today's dumb question, or rather silly question. I've got a chunk of my apple tree. It looks like a whole big branch that looks like it may have broken. And I'm thinking I need to lop it off, but I'm also thinking that I waited too long. And now it's almost sort of going to be getting warmish. And I remembered you talking about you want to do these pruning things at certain times of the year when there's not a chance of infections or bugs or mold or, you know, whatever getting into that open wound on the tree. And then I wondered, couldn't you slop over it with like paraffin or something? Wouldn't that protect it?
Oh, Lisa.
I know. Well, see, when I was thinking about this morning, you know, when you try to come up with a solution based on what you know, your solution is only going to be as good as what you know. And if you don't know very much, you got to learn more, but you're not going to learn that until you say, so how come this wouldn't work? So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good question. Well,
a silly question. Yeah, I get it. But
no, as Jan said, there's no such thing as a silly question.
No, she said there's no dumb questions, but silly questions, she got plenty of those, let me tell you.
Oh.
All right, so you, what do you want to do if you've got something you think, wow, I think this needs to go, but I really don't want the tree or the bush to get sick?
Yeah, you really want to, regardless of the time of year, in a case like that where a branch is broken or partially ripped from the tree or something along that line, you do want to get that off and just as clean a cut as you can make. And then really the best thing to do is to let that heal on its own and really hope for the best. You know, for a long time there were pruning paints and things like that that folks were putting on these cuts, and there's actually still available on the market, but a lot of studies have found that that really just accelerates rot below that paint. So getting in, cleaning that up, get it cut as nice as you can. Try not to tear any more of the bark, and try to get as smooth a cut as you can so there's less surface area in that cut. You know, so instead of jagged and torn, it's a nice smooth cut.
Right. It's going to be a bow saw. It's going to be a bow saw operation, and I should be able to get pretty close to the trunk, but it's going to be a...
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and the sooner the better.
Okay.
The sooner the better with that, so that's a good weekend or coming up project for you to get that done.
I'll explain to station management that I have to leave early because I got to go home. Tom Casper says, time's a waste with my apple tree.
Yeah. Tom has that kind of power at KUMD.
I have a note from my gardener. I have to leave. All right. Well, that is good to know, because if you're worried that you maybe missed the window of opportunity to when you should have done it a little bit earlier in the year, and holy cow, it's just outrageous to see that the chewing marks like 4 feet up the tree and realize that that's where the snow was and that's where the bunnies were. You know, if you've got a tiny front yard, as a lot of people do in Duluth, and the snow, you know, between your own snow blowing and the snow plow going by and just all the snow we got, it's pretty wild. So yeah, my poor tree needs some extra special love. I'll give it a big pile of mulch later in the week or so, and that'll make it feel better.
Yeah, so, you know, and that, I mean, you're better in the case of where. And like you said, it's better to have done it earlier than now. And certainly you wouldn't want to do any kind of structural pruning right now, which would be kind of unnecessary at this point. But certainly in places where you have some damaged branches or stuff like that, where you're trying to clean up the tree and reduce its exposure, then really doing that now is a good thing. So rather than waiting till next winter or so.
Yeah, the Finch cherries are looking kind of tough, too. The deer really did a number on them. So, yeah, plant a little extra for the four-leggeds and the two-leggeds, and you won't be sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you might be. You might still squirt them with your motion-activated sprinkler, but but still.
Exactly. There's always you know, the balance you got to strive for.
Yes, the law of the wild. Come in my yard, you'll get squirted with my motion-activated sprinkler. TK, thanks a million for joining us this morning. Let's talk again in a couple of weeks, shall we?
Sounds great. You have a good day.
Tom Casper, our longtime host of Tips for Hardy Gardeners, a regular feature of every other Tuesday here on 103.3 KUMD.